Hey, everybody. Good to be with you. You would open your Bibles to Leviticus 20. I would like to read a handful of portions before we get into the thoughts for this evening. I'll mention that if any are able, we had planned to discuss, hopefully brief, about Bible school afterwards, and then we'll look at that in just a few minutes. But right now, what I'd like to do is read beginning in Leviticus 20. A situation had come up in recent times, among others, but recently a circumstance had come up that brought this subject to my mind again, and the Lord had maybe been preparing me in one sense, because this is one of several subjects that I had kind of written down on my notepad of things that I've been praying about bringing out at the home assembly at some point. So, but recently it was back on my mind. And when I was getting ready to leave the house this evening, I said to Isaac, Isaac, I want you to pay particular attention to the subject tonight and tell me what you think about the subject at hand. Let's begin with a question, and then I'll tell you what the response of Isaac was. What does the scripture say about divination, or as we modernly call, witchcraft? Isaac's response was, oh, that ought to be interesting. A lot of people, a lot of children have interest in that. Even Christian children. So, that's a very true statement. Again, when we use the word Christian loosely, professing Christians, and the Lord knows how much of children that are believers dabble in these things. It is so widespread today. It is so ingrained in so many things that I believe it's true. Christian children have interest in things that overlap into witchcraft. Let's look at these verses. Leviticus 20 and verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Over to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. There's a multitude of verses along these lines. I'll share with you in a few moments the various names and forms that this subject will come unto you. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observer of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do. 2 Kings. The verses we've read in the books of Moses were giving the instructions and how God told the children of Israel not to be involved in these things. So then we come to 2 Kings and we see what happens once we move into the history of Israel. 2 Kings 17 and verse 17. Well, let's back up to 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and to use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now let's move further into the Old Testament. Book of Isaiah, Isaiah 47, Isaiah 47, let's look at verse 9, Isaiah 47 and 9. Well, let's read verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, that thou art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that saith in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know from whence it rises. And mischief shall fall upon thee, and shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Verse 13, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame, etc. So we see Babylon's humiliation and judgment and her confidences by the prophet Isaiah. You see the various words there, astrology, stargazers, monthly prognosticators, many different uses and terminologies. Now let's turn to the New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Once we read several of these, then we'll have a little discussion on these things. Galatians chapter 5. It's speaking of this tremendous chapter of the Spirit of God as opposed to the flesh. Let's begin and note in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Note here, as also you and told you in time past, they that do such things, or that is, practice these things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Witchcraft included. Now, let us think for a moment. We're talking about, and let me give you some of these terms. Divinations, witchcraft, magicians, sorcerers, wizards, astrologers, enchantments, familiar spirits, soothsayers, charmers, consulters, necromancy, monthly prognosticators, exorcists, sometimes the word wise men, those that would cause one to pass through the fire, and observers of time. 17, and these are from the Word of God, not opinion, 17 quotes and terms from the Word of God in connection with witchcraft. Now let me just make a few notes and then we'll examine some of these and define those. Now as far as every person in the race of mankind, we are all sinners. So in that sense, people say, well, one sin is the same as another sin. Well, as far as our guilt before God, yes, we all have a sin nature. But as we search through Scripture, we can say sin is sin. But as we search through Scripture, there are degrees of sin in the sense that God does seem to put a premium on certain sins that we see Him use, such as adultery, as a strict analogy. He'll be talking about Israel, and he'll refer to adultery, spiritual adultery, as a way of pointing out the seriousness of it. Again, we're sinners because we have a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, we sin. So in one sense, yes, there's no such a thing as a small sin, a big sin. We're all sinners, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. But yet, when it comes to the results of sin, certain sins reap a greater harvest. And God has said certain sins He calls an abomination. Certain sins He does speak at length upon. And as we read, some are said to be evidence of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. So having said this, God calls certain things abominations. Why do we then include witchcraft with adultery and murder and idolatry? Well, to give thyself over to witchcraft would be to be bowing down to someone other than the Lord God. It would be giving your affections over to someone other than the Lord. And putting your dependence, perhaps, upon someone other than the Lord. I remind our children that there are two powers in this world. Power of God, power of Satan. Now, if you do an in-depth study of Satan himself and that character, it would help a lot with seeing the background of this study of witchcraft and the other terms. And that is a needful study, the study of the person, the character of Satan. But you know, one thing I can just put in a nutshell, when you study Satan, and in trying to answer someone in some home Bible studies recently, we did do a study on this, and it was fascinating just how much information is on Satan. Been a while, but had looked at it before and looked at it again recently. But one thing to put in a nutshell about Satan is this. Satan is the great counterfeiter. You know, he has his own throne. When you look at the attributes and the actions to come of Antichrist, we see the great counterfeit as the Lord allows this time on the earth by Antichrist as he's used of Satan. And many, many other examples of Satan's subtle actions. I would include witchcraft into this. It's very subtle. Sometimes it's very blatant, very open. Let's read a couple more scriptures. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 4. Let's back up a few pages. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, and it says this, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Come over to chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. Not only is Satan the god of this world, what do we see in chapter 11? It says in verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan is very subtle. Satan is very tricky. He's very sneaky. I appreciate what the Lord laid on the heart of one of the brethren in prayer, that we would be wise as believers and know the times. This is something that's gone on, as we see all the way back with Israel, but it hasn't changed today. Witchcraft has its inroads in a lot of various ways and means. You can't hardly turn on any of the new children's programs without it being in there. If you pay attention, you find it pretty easily, I think. Particularly these cartoon movies. It's so popular. All the animation, and they're really for little people up to adults. They usually try to sneak in, or maybe it's not even subtle. They'll bring it on in, something to do with some type of enchantment, some type of praying to someone other than God, calling on seances, calling up the dead, something. And it's brought into the very laps of our children. Movies, games, it's just everywhere. It's unfortunate. But we are pilgrims and strangers. This is not our home. We shouldn't be surprised. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them that do not believe, lest they should believe in the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So, having said these things, let's look at some of these previous mentioned titles and descriptions and look at some of the definitions of those and some of the references associated with them. Divinations. I was looking on my online Bible on the computer to get the definitions off of the Easton's and what have you Bible dictionaries to try to give me a little help on getting the right definitions for each one. There were so many to look for. Divinations. It was rendered mutterers, to mutter. Found in Ezekiel, about half of the references. Let's look at one of those in Ezekiel 21. A study like this, you're going to be turning to books of the Bible you may not turn to as often, but it's from Old to New Testament. So it's not just that Israel was told these were abominations, but as we read in Galatians, and you later see in Revelation, that the Lord has told us in the New Testament age that he feels very, very strongly still about this matter. Because you know what? When we put our emphasis and put our trust and confidence and put our energies into following the other power, then we are not worshiping the Almighty One. We're not putting our confidence in the Lord God Almighty. So he sees it, I believe, from the various scriptures as idolatry, because it means we're actually putting our confidence somewhere else, putting something or someone ahead of God. So in Ezekiel 21, in verse 21, we see the king of Babylon and his divinations against Jerusalem. 21:21 of Ezekiel, for the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright, that was one way. Secondly, he consulted with images. And thirdly, he looked in the liver. Now, that sounds kind of a strange way, but from looking up, trying to get the definition, it pretty much was defined the way it sounds. Taking animal parts and trying to come up with some type of sign. As he mentions these different signs that the Babylonians use of divination, trying to find out what they wanted to know. We mentioned witchcraft. Let's move on to the word magicians. Where do you think we find magicians primarily? Magicians, we find it with the pharaohs a lot of times. Genesis 41 with Joseph, and when he was down in Egypt, it wasn't Joseph, but we see the pharaoh. And yet we see how Joseph was a wise one, but he trusted the Lord. Tremendous picture Joseph is of the Lord Jesus Christ in those years of his suffering and then his exaltation. But what about another time with the pharaoh? We go over into the early chapters of Exodus, chapters 7 to 9, and when those plagues were being sent, and there was Pharaoh, and there they were in Egypt again, still, and it was Moses. Moses trusting in God, Moses the great deliverer, the great picture again is God, Christ is deliverer, and yet we see him as the great prophet there, but the Pharaoh was trusting in magicians. Remember how they would be brought up and he would try to get his information that way. But just as in the case with Joseph, we see with Moses that the Lord God Almighty was the one who had the ultimate power and the ultimate answers. But there are also kings that had their use for magicians. Then we go into the book of Daniel, Babylonian and Persian kingdoms. We see in the first five chapters of Daniel, the kings mentioned there, we see they had their magicians. They looked for their answers that way. Let's move on. We see sorcerers or sorcery. One who cast lots to tell about others was the definition there. You know, that sounds kind of familiar. One who cast lots to tell about others. There's this place near where my parents live, and it's on 64. You've probably seen one or two of them. It's been there, seems like, since I was Isaac or Jeffrey's age or something. This, whatever the title they take, but palm reader or whatever it is, you think of these tarot cards and fortune tellers and all this. They're on 64. There's, that one's been there. Probably has changed hands. One went out of business or same one all these years. But those who are sorcerers, one mention is in Malachi 3:5. They're at the end of the Old Testament. We see in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, we see there a tremendous book with a great exhortation and warning about how they were coldly approaching the things of God, and they were robbing God in their cold approach unto the Lord. And in this we see in 3 and verse 5, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wage, the widow and the fatherless, etc., etc. But the mention of the sorcerer, God said he would come to Israel, judge them for this. Then we see, let's move on, the word wizards. Wizards. Now this is something that's probably familiar to terminology today. And let me just mention this. Some things that was prominent in the past and even today. Let me just throw these out. It seems like forever people have read horoscopes. What about in the 80s when I was kind of younger, Dungeons and Dragons. That was the big thing for the quote unquote smart guys in our class. They'd get in that Dungeons and Dragons and they'd try to figure that out. Today it's Harry Potter and the Wicca movement. It's always got some face to it, you see. So we get to the wizards. It's those that pretend to have supernatural power and knowledge. Here's one that's pretty broad, astrologers, or stargazers in one reference to the scripture. Those that read stars for future understanding. And stargazers had this definition. Rising, or understanding of the stars, of the rising, the setting, the motions, the aspects, the color, the degree of light, etc., it says. So when you get into these things, doesn't that speak of how ones today look for their answers as stargazers and astrologers? Instead of looking to the creator of these heavenly beings, they look to the creation. Enchantments. What about Balaam? Numbers 24. An example. There's several mentions of enchantments in the Old Testament. Familiar spirits. The definition there we found was, again, simply those that call up the dead for questions. Let's look at some examples on this one. What about 1 Samuel? Let's go back to 1 Samuel 28. We're probably all familiar with King Saul. Looking for a familiar spirit in 1 Samuel 28. Now, it's kind of an interesting little contrast we find in this chapter. 28 and 3 of 1 Samuel. Now, Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul, that is the first king of Israel, had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Saul tried, it seems, for whatever reasons, to have a good start. He put these things away. But then, come down to verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So we find the witch of Endor. We see what he wanted. He wanted this one to bring back Samuel. And we see the sad, sad story of what carried on after his calling for a familiar spirit. Calling up the dead for questions. We're told to go to the Lord God, who is our sufficient one, that in the time of need, we're to go to the throne room of grace and call upon Him. Christ is our great high priest, our intercessor, our mediator. Another example is in 2 Kings. King Manasseh this time. 2 Kings 21 and verse 6. And as we come over there, we see a bad king. As you recall, there were several bad kings and a few good kings. As a southern tribe, or the southern kingdom, there was a few good ones. In the north, there were none. But in 2 Kings 21, Manasseh did evil in the sight of the Lord, 2 Kings 21 and 6, and he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It's interesting how when you go through Chronicles and Kings, it always says such and such a king did evil in the sight of the Lord, or such and such a king did right in the sight of the Lord. Well, this one did evil. But we come over to chapter 23 of 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings 23, and we look at verse 24, we find a good king, Josiah. And we see in verse 24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Israel did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. We see revival. Josiah, the king, said, no, they must go. Then we see our next, soothsayers. Those, again, similar to another definition, that pretend to predict the future. Charmers. This is interesting. You think of snake charmers in some cultures, in past and present. Charmers, the definition being they that bind a curse or a blessing on one. A curse. You think of these witch doctors in tribal areas, you know, that have these voodoo dolls and they want to do such and cast a curse. Charmers, consulters, necromancers. Again, here's the definition. Consulters of the dead for the future again. Exorcists, those who try to expel demons. Again, let's think of something that's a counterfeit to the Lord. How many miracles did our Lord perform? How many times did he heal someone? How many times did he bring forth a demon from someone? But yet the counterfeiter would have an exorcist, someone that would try to do this, that would not be of God. Then we see with looking up the word wise men, often this word was used in a good sense, but often not in the Word of God. Sometimes it gave the definition in the Bible dictionary of medicine men. I don't know if that has any correlation to what you see, again, like in the tribal situations with witch doctors and what have you. But anyway, the same sphere of wickedness. And we have more or less covered them. Monthly prognosticators, observer of times, those that cause one to pass through the fire. Now we come to the New Testament. In Acts, we find four examples in the New Testament. We see Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. And remember his situation there of seeming to desire to have the same ability and power that the disciples did. Chapter 13, there was Elias, or Bar-Jesus, they called him, another sorcerer. Acts 16, there was that damsel, it says, of divination. And in 19 and 13 of Acts, there was the exorcist, the only mention of that word I found in the Word of God. But what are the results? For those that continue in such things, we see Galatians 5:20 telling us it's an example of those that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you know, the word witchcraft, when you look it up in the New Testament in the Greek, we see it's the word that connects with pharmacy or drugs. Is there any surprise that drugs have its great overlap with witchcraft? When we see these things that go on and you hear these terrible reports about a lot of times when children are taken and children that are missing, they fear that it had to do with witchcraft. It had to be something perhaps where children are offered up. They use their holidays, usually Halloween, and that's their time. They'll have these private gatherings and they'll sacrifice children. It's awful to even think about. But you see the overlap with drugs and the things that people will do and have on their mind, not to mention being possessed of the devil. Drugs, the word witchcraft, pharmaceutical. The pharmacy, we have that word today. But then it closes out in Revelation, if you will. Turn with me to chapter 21 and 8. There's also another reference in 22. But in 21 and 8 of Revelation, we see here as he mentions the new heavens and the new earth and how wonderful these things will be. It says in verse 6, "It is done." Christ said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son." But verse 8 says, "And there shall come unto one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of full of seven last plagues and talk with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now this is the bride. But in between these two, what do we find in verse 8? The fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We see the seriousness that God puts upon things such as witchcraft. So why do we bring this up? We bring it up, one, because it's a very prominent teaching in the Word of God. I've mentioned only a small portion of the many verses that are on this subject. And I did try to run kind of quickly through the ones that we did mention. But it's so subtle, and sometimes very obvious, but often subtle in our culture, in our society. And unfortunately, the comment from my son earlier may be more true than we wish it to be. That yes, a lot of children find interest in this subject. Yes, even the Christian children. May it not be so in our homes. May it not be so as we raise our children for the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do bow in thy presence again. We know this is a solemn subject, and yet, Father, as we take it from your word, we meditate on it, and we just ask that you would help us to take what we can from it. And Father, may it just move our hearts to worship you all the more and be so thankful for what you've called us out of, and that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns and that he is our Lord in our hearts. Father, we that have been graciously saved by your mercy. So Father, we know we deserve it not, but you now call us children of God. Thank you, Father, that we have been justified by faith and that you have declared us righteous. And yet, Father, we pray that we would be wise about what's going on around us, even though we are saved and that we are seated in the heavenlies and we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Yet, Father, may we be careful to understand the times. We just ask these things in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.